encourage you how you can pray for us, how you can pray for missionaries. Romans chapter 15, verses 14 to 33. And I won't preach a sermon per se, I don't think, unless it turns into one. These things tend to happen sometimes. But how to pray for your missionaries. I'll start reading in verse number 14 of Romans 15 and go down to verse 33. You know, we are in spiritual warfare. Because we have such a multi-ethnic group of people at our church, I think I maybe see it more vividly than others. Because with their cultures, they also bring some of the battles that you might face on those fields. I mean, I've had people in my office with voodoo. I've had just 2 weeks ago, I had to make a pastoral visit, and just not to scare the kids, I won't say what happened in the house while I was there, but just paranormal things. And people had been dabbling in animistic worship, and some of these things were weird stuff happening in their house. And, you come face to face. We had at Easter 2017, we had a Freemason come out and try to disrupt our service in a black robe with his hand up at the back doing incantations to try to keep me from preaching. Just weird stuff, you know. But that comes, again, with having Africans in the church and different things like that. And praise God for them, but it brings its own set of challenges. But it also just reminds you how much you need the Lord. And sometimes I think in North American Christianity, we get this idea that if we have the right program, with the right materials and enough energy, something's going to happen. Well, that's not true, because it's not by might, it's by my spirit, saith the Lord. So I want us to think about how you can pray for missionaries, because it's nothing worse than a carnal missionary. He's going to get nothing done. And when I say that, I'm not talking about anybody else but myself, okay? If I do it in the flesh, I am not worth one dime of support. So let's go to Romans chapter 15, verse 14. It says, "And I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that ye also are full of goodness, filled with knowledge, able also to admonish one another. Nevertheless, brethren, I have written the more boldly unto you in some sort, as putting you in mind because of the grace that is given to me of God, that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. I have therefore whereof I may glory through Jesus Christ in those things which pertain to God. For I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ hath not wrought by me, to make the Gentiles obedient by word and deed, through mighty signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God, that from Jerusalem and round about to Illyricum I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. Yea, so have I strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build on another man's foundation, but as it is written, to whom he was not spoken of, they shall see, and they that have not heard shall understand. For which cause also I have been much hindered from coming to you. But now, having no more place in these parts, and having a great desire these many years to come unto you, whensoever I take my journey into Spain, I will come to you, for I trust to see you in my journey, and to be brought on my way thitherward by you, if first I be somewhat filled with your company. But now I go unto Jerusalem to minister unto the saints. For it hath pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor saints which are at Jerusalem. It hath pleased them verily, and their debtors they are. For if the Gentiles have been made partakers of their spiritual things, their duty is also to minister unto them in carnal things. When therefore I have performed this, and have sealed to them this fruit, I will come by you into Spain. And I am sure that when I come unto you, I shall come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, and for the love of the Spirit, that ye strive together with me in your prayers to God for me, that I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea, and that my service which I have for Jerusalem may be accepted of the saints, that I may come unto you with joy by the will of God, and may with you be refreshed. Now the God of peace be with you all. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we come to you asking for a word from you. I ask that you would help us to become better prayer partners, not just for missionaries, but for our own pastor here, and also for as a missionary praying for this church, as they do your work here, and as we are confident and have trust that as a partner church with us, that they stay faithful, and we pray for this church as they pray for us. I pray that in the next few moments you would impress upon us the need to pray, and the need to pray fervently. And I ask that the Spirit would be our teacher now, and just give us something that would transform our prayer life. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. The Spirit is both the door of ministry, because he's the one who pushes you into it. He's also the fuel of ministry. Some people sometimes, they say, oh, I've been called by God to do something, but then they try to get it done in the flesh. And that is never a good thing. We just had, a few weeks ago at our church, we had probably the most special church service I've ever been in. Had an evangelist from Michigan come up, and he taught on the Spirit-filled life. And the service that Sunday night about a month ago, now it went on and on and on, and I'd never seen anything like it. And I'd heard about it, read about it. We had just a wonderful time. But that night, we were all reminded, myself included, that if you try to live the Christian life in your strength, you're going to fail. Christ is in you. He is in you. He's the hope of glory, Colossians chapter 1. And it's His Spirit living in you that can do through you things that if you were to try in your own strength, you would fall flat on your face. And as we are in a place, I get to serve in a place where everybody I reach, it's the first time they've heard the gospel. I'm not sure if you picked it up in the video, but 0.3% of people claim to be evangelical Christian where I live. So it's extremely rare that I meet anybody that says, oh, I've heard this before. Oh, is that like such and such? It's usually the first time they hear it. Yesterday, Melissa and the boys were out soul winning, and I was here, but she texted that where she called me, and she said that a man drove after them and freaked her right out. But he was there to say, thank you. This is the first time anybody has ever given me the gospel. Keep it up. And she's like, I thought he was going to yell at me, but he was there to encourage us. That's extremely, extremely rare. I'm going to be really transparent with you. And it's true for me. It's true for any other missionary. We really need prayer. I mean, yes, you need financial support, but financial support, I mean, the Lord always provides for your needs. My trust is not in churches like yours. My trust is in the Lord. And He uses people like you, and I really do appreciate it. But what we need the most is your prayer. And there's four things real quick I want you to pray for us. First of all, pray for the power of God. Verses 17 to 20 in this passage, it says here that through signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God, Paul had preached, fully preached, the gospel of Christ, where Christ was not named. When you meet people who have absolutely no Christian background, no respect for Christianity, who think that anybody who is a Christian is a cult, the most popular question, are you a Jehovah's Witness? I get that, asked that every week, all the time. And you struggle sometimes to find just a point of contact to begin gospel conversations. But the thing is, I don't have to be so worried about that. If I'm faithful at sowing the seed, God is going to do something. Sometimes you hear about missionaries going to a quote-unquote hard field. Well, every field is hard if you're not sowing the seed. That's the first thing. But also, every field is hard if you're going in the flesh. So would you please pray that as we go, we are going in the power of the Holy Spirit. But that requires something from me. God never uses a dirty vessel. So, I mean, at lunch, Pastor and I were talking about some missionaries that we've known in the past. And, I mean, the fact of the matter is a lot of missionaries, I think more than half of the missionaries going to the field are coming off the field pretty quick. The average time a missionary stays on the field is 2 years now. That's the new average, 2 years on the field, those who do get there. Just barely enough time to learn the language. I don't know each missionary, but I would ask you to, for me, pray that I will live a victorious Christian life over sin in my life. And my kids, too, by the way. I mean, I said it in the video, it's Sin City. My wife's number one prayer request, which we'll ask what they can pray for us about, pray that my boys' minds will stay pure. In Montreal, the billboards on the highways would be considered pornography in a lot of places. I mean, you just have to have, you just have to not look to the right, not look to the left sometimes. The things that are acceptable there are just horrific. But pray that we'll stay pure, that we will stay in a condition where God can use us. We have to recognize the power of God. You know, you and I, we cannot lose God's pardon, but we can lose His power. You can't lose salvation. That is once and for all. However, you can grieve the Spirit. You can quench the Spirit, or you can be filled with the Spirit. I want to be filled with the Spirit. Paul says here that through the power of the Spirit of God, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. Now, sometimes in God's mercy, a carnal man will preach the gospel and people will get saved because of the power of the gospel. That's God's mercy. But sometimes a man will go in the Spirit of God, preaching the Word of God like Paul, and wonderful things happen that shouldn't happen if you did it humanly. So I would ask you to pray for us that we will have the Spirit of God. Go with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, if you would. Again, Paul says in verse number 5 of 1 Thessalonians 1, he explains that when he went and preached, it wasn't just in word only. It wasn't just handing out a tract, although that's important. It was not just preaching a sermon, although that's important. For our gospel came not unto you in word only. Word only is me, I can do that every day. You can do that every day. But also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. But notice what made the difference between a man who has the power of God and who does not have the power of God. The end of the verse says, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. Would you please pray that, and this might, I hope this doesn't sound arrogant, but please pray that I can be a man of God. A man on whom God's power rests. Because very transparently, if I'm in Montreal and I'm trying to do this in the flesh, you would do yourselves a favor by just dropping our support. Because any work worth doing is worth doing in the Spirit of Christ. And you need to pray. I mean, again, very transparent. Our church, I teach them to support missions. And, you know, from the beginnings of the church, let's support missionaries and let's be concerned with the world. And there were two missionaries. They're working as a team in France. And I had to write them an email asking them, so what are you doing in France? And sadly, we had to discontinue their support. They're good men. They're friendly, nice guys. But as I correspond with them, I came to this conclusion. And that they are not doing the work of God in the Spirit, in the Spirit's power. And as a being responsible, I just said, well, you know, I'm sorry, we're going to have to part ways. Not with pleasure, not with joy, but as I sent that email off, I thought of myself. Eric, are you doing God's work in God's power, or are you doing it in the flesh? Would you pray for me that the power of the Spirit will be on our lives? But for that, there's a requirement that I would be a clean vessel before him. And as a missionary, again, very transparently, I don't have 20 pastors that I can go for coffee with. And then they can say, hey, Eric, you know, you don't talk like you used to. Or, okay. It's very easy as a missionary just kind of fly under the radar and just, you know, oh, well, I'll write my prayer letter, make it sound good. And not that you're hypocrites, but if you're not doing well spiritually, there's just less people who are going to notice and call you out on it. So you have to be a lot more accountable to your wife, accountable to your sending pastor. And you have to, we purposely keep those lines of accountability very open. Why? Because we want the power of God on our lives, or else we're wasting our time. Number two, not only the power of God, but the leading of God. And we see this in the next few verses here in verses 22 to 25. I won't read them all back in Romans chapter 15, but it says in verse 22, I find this interesting. Paul says, for which cause also I have been much hindered from coming to you. Paul's saying, we've been preaching in the Illyricum, we've been preaching all over the place, and because we're doing this, we have not been able to do something else that we wanted to do. When you're a missionary, you have to make a lot of choices. I serve in a place where there's no French Bible college. I mean, if a young man from our church came to me and said, I'm called to preach, I could not say, well, go to a Baptist college. I mean, if he speaks English, maybe, but if he speaks French, there's no Independent Baptist college I can send to. There is not one. So then you say, okay, I guess I should start a Bible college. Or you want to disciple somebody. Well, there's no discipleship material in French, at least not a lot. So that, I'm going to start a translation ministry. Oh, you know, there's a man who's an addict. I guess I need to translate the RU ministry. And then you can get so busy doing so many different things, meeting so many different needs, that you leave the main thing undone, which is to preach the gospel and make disciples. And all those things are good, but honestly, we need help to choose what to do. Somebody wrote me about 4 days ago. I love this book. Would you please translate it? No. I'm sure it's a good book, but it'll take me 30 hours to translate. I don't have 30 hours. But it's a good project. It's just not the most important thing that I get to do. I hope somebody will translate your book, and I hope it'll be printed, and if it is, I will use it, but I have to say no, because otherwise, if I'm spending 30 hours doing that, I'm not spending 30 hours doing something that God has called me to do. All I'm saying is we need to pray for God. I see so many missionaries in Quebec. I mean, one dear brother, he's been there 20-plus years. There's not a church yet to speak of, but he's translated tons of books, some of which I use, and I appreciate that. Maybe God's calling it a translation ministry. I don't know. But I know that you're always praying, Lord, what is the main thing? What is the main thing? Lead me. And sometimes you get so overwhelmed. Okay, I could do this and this and this and this and this and that. And let's be honest, some of these things get praise in America. but they're not what God's called you to do. Oh, he's the guy who translated. Does that matter? Ultimately, whether your name is known or not, if you're doing, you need to preach. But may God lead us to do what he has called us to do. Because some good things become hindrances. Paul's saying, for which cause I have been much hindered from coming. I was doing good things. What God wanted me to do, because of that, I couldn't come to you. Well, there's some things that I have to be able to say no to because God has called me, for the time being, to something else. So please pray that God will lead us. When I say lead, I just mean he'll help us to make wise decisions, to use our time wisely, not to be overwhelmed with the need that we try to do a little bit everywhere, but that we're focused on the task. Hindrances. Notice also what he says in verse 23. But now, having no more place in these parts. Will God show us when it's the time to move on? Paul's saying, I have no more, you know, and honestly, when you commit to a flock, you want to be there for the rest of your days. But as a church planting missionary, you know that unless God changes your outlook, you're preparing the church for the day where you're going to say goodbye. That timing is very hard to ascertain. The Spirit shows you. But may God lead us when it's the time for the church I showed you on the video to fly with its own wings, and it's time for us to go someplace else. Some missionaries stay in one spot, and the church becomes dependent on them and dependent on mission support, never really becomes autonomous. We try actively. If the church can pay for it, I'm not going to write a letter to Americans to pay for it or use my support to pay for it, because they have to learn. Otherwise, it's so easy. Oh, we need this. Well, maybe we can. Could you write a letter to your supporters? No, I won't. Because any church in America that needs a new soundboard, they have to raise the money to do it. So if you need a new soundboard, well, you got to raise them. Well, we're a poor missions church. Doesn't matter. God can provide for you just as much as he can provide for a Shadow Mountain Baptist Church. So it's very important that you be led by the Spirit in these things. What is it that they can do? And don't let them get away with not doing what they can do. Otherwise, you have churches that have been on mission support for 40 years, you know. And, well, that's all they do. But God would lead us, first of all, when it's time to leave, but also lead us in what we need to do. But number three, pray for the provision of God. I won't spend much time here. Verse 24, he says, I trust to see you in my journey and be brought on my way thitherward. There's a word that is not friendly to a French mouth. By you, thitherward. I can hardly get that out. If first I be somewhat filled with your company. So he's expecting the people in Rome to help him, to support him, to get him to his destination. Now, I have very little concern over God's provision in my life. I mean, since we've been there, there's some churches that have ceased to support us because the church split, had to drop the missionaries, or changed pastors, the new pastor took the church in a different direction, different things like that. But I'm not really worried about God's provision because my times are in his hands, and he will provide for all my needs. And if I, as a missionary, focus too much, and listen to me, I don't want to be misunderstood. If I focus too much on his provision, and I go after it too hard, I will lose his power. Because I will become carnally minded, concerned with keeping the support, or concerned with finances, or concerned with, whereas God says, don't worry about that. You know, if I can clothe the lilies of the field, I can take care of a missionary, all right? So you just go, you be the kind of man that I can use there in Montreal, and I'll take care of the rest. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. So that God will for the provision. But fourthly, for our pleading. You say, well, that's strange. Well, look at what he says here. He says in verse number 30. He says, now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit, that ye strive together with me in your prayers. Which presupposes that Paul is praying really hard. He's saying, I want you to strive together with me in your prayers. I believe he's saying, not just working together, not just I'm working and you're praying, but he says, I'm working and praying. And I see a lot of missionaries, and I'll put myself in that position, I hope, that I pray enough. Sometimes we spend so much time working and so little time praying, and that doesn't work. On my flight over here yesterday, I just read a book by Hudson Taylor, an old, old book I was given. It's out of print. It's the transcript of a series of lectures he gave to the missionaries of the China Inland Mission in the 1800s. Moving, just powerful. If I can take the whole book and sum it up, he told his missionaries there in China, he says, yeah, people are smoking opium. Yes, it's hard. Yes, some of our converts are getting their ears cut off when they believe in Christ. Yes, it's dangerous, and yes, we may be killed. But let's not do it in our own strength. And he was calling his missionaries to fervent and unceasing prayer. Would you pray that God will put me in positions where I have to pray? It may sound weird, but God will put me in a position. If I become comfortable and things are going so well, and maybe we baptized a lady 2 weeks ago, we're baptizing two in a couple weeks, and things are going well, and we have quite a few visitors these days, and I praise the Lord for that, but I would hate to be the missionary who's in a position where he feels that he doesn't need to pray, because I'm human. And if I sometimes feel that I don't need to pray, even though I would never say those words, my prayer life goes, and then the power of God goes, would God keep me a man of power, but also a man of prayer? That he would keep me. So as you pray for me, would you pray, Lord, keep him in a position where he has to depend on you? Because a ministry that no longer has to depend on God is not God's ministry. You have to be in a position where you depend on God. So pray for me that God will keep me in a position where I am pleading. And by the way, I pray for you all the time. Because as I said this morning, and I mean this, and I really try to be careful how I speak, I do not want you to get the impression that I think Montreal is any more important than Morgan Hill, because it is not. And I pray for you for the same reason that you pray for me. As I'm in Montreal, if you get discouraged, you can think of a church in Morgan Hill that's going strong for the Lord. And you can pray, Lord, I pray for their Easter program or whatever. I pray that people will be saved here. Now, it was a joy to be here this morning and see new faces and to see someone get baptized. And to hear testimony of people who've gotten saved, I mean, that's just an encouragement to me, because it's just as important for me to hear that you're doing well as it is for you to read a prayer letter from us and see that we're doing well. It's extremely important. But would you pray for us that God will, first of all, keep us in a position where we're being used of him? That we are the manner of men, as he said in 1 Thessalonians, on which the power of God rests. And if ever there's any doubt about the fact that God's power is resting in our life, I hope that pastor will call and say, hey, Eric, what's going on, man? Looks pretty carnal. I mean, he may not use that exact term, but it is a concern if a missionary is doing it in the flesh, because it's not going to work, and honestly, there'd be nothing good to report. But God would lead us. Lead us in the day-to-day of ministry, but also lead us when it's time to say, okay, this church now is mature enough to be able to sustain itself. Now, God, what do you have for us now? But also leading in what is okay for a missionary to supply and what is expected of them to do on their own. It takes wisdom and discernment. We're a provision, and then just that God will keep us in a position. I want situations that only God can fix. Not problems necessarily, but situations only God can come through. Right now we have one. The church we're meeting in, the building, is an old print shop. And when we came, it had pews, and it seated about 56. Now we're running about 90 on a Sunday morning, which is a great blessing. We've got chairs, and we can seat 80, so with the kids in the nursery, we're okay. But our parking lot is a mess. Now, for us to buy a building would be $2 million. To rent would be $5,000 a month. We just don't have that. So, and I told some men in the church were having a fit. And I said, look. I said, when God is no longer able to do in this building what he wants to do, if we're faithful, it's his problem. He'll supply something. Now, if we're faithful, I'm not saying God's just going to, we can be unfaithful and just, no. But if we're faithful, God will look after. But I'm excited about it, because we're in a position where only God can work. So it keeps people on their knees. Pastor, pray for a building. Yeah, that's true. Let's pray for that. And keep us in a position where we have to pray. Of course, I'm not running after problems. I don't enjoy problems any more than the next guy. But that God would keep us in a position where we have to pray. Because missions work that does not depend on God and his power, and prayer is not missions work at all. So may God keep us in that mindset. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this church and their faithfulness to our family and to you primarily. Thank you for the privileges to be back and give a report. And when we were last here, I was just sharing dreams. I was just sharing my hopes. I was just sharing what I thought you were going to do. And I knew, even then, that I had absolutely no ability to bring any of that to pass. But now, some years later, you've done things that I can only give you the glory for. And we've seen people saved and baptized and a church being built. And honestly, it's not because of me, it's not because of my family, but glory to you. And I thank you for the privilege of coming back and giving that report, and also of giving a report that I'm pretty sure nobody's going to walk out here and say, Eric Levy, you did that. We all know you did it and are doing it, and I praise you for it. And I pray for the church here, and I thank you for keeping your church, and thank you for their pastor and for his family, and thank you for souls saved here and baptized here and disciples being trained here, because this area is needy of the gospel, and this church is crucial to this community. And I pray that you'd put your hand of protection upon them and of power, and that every time we get to visit or meet pastor somewhere or hear about this church or communicate, we would hear that it's going strong and that you are at work here, and I trust that will be the case. And I pray for our ministry there. I ask that you would supply all the things that I asked them to pray about, leading and wisdom and power. And I ask that you would continue to build that work to full maturity, not for my sake. You did not say, build me a church, but you said, I will build my church. It's your church. You're the one building it. And I thank you so much for the privilege of being there to watch and to see and have a very small part in it. And I pray that both here and there would keep us dependent upon you. And I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Levier. I'm so grateful that he got to come, and I hope you listened well. This is striving together for the work of the ministry. You need to understand that. And our church, we've been a mission-supporting church for many, many years. And I think that's really, for me at least, and I think I could speak on behalf of our entire church family, it's a highlight every year for our missions conference and having people come in and be reminded again of the gospel necessity, not just here, but abroad. And I think in order to really catch the heart of a missionary, or at least the heart of the Great Commission, you have to be concerned about both. You can't forsake the one for the other. I don't think it's right for us to say, yes, we want to support missionaries, not be willing to give a gospel track. I think that's a little hypocritical. And I think we need to be reminded of that. But tonight, what he's asked you to do is nothing short of what you would ask if you were asking for prayer for your burden. This is something that Paul said, look, I want you, please pray for me, pray for me, pray for me, and over and over. But at the same time, you hear Paul echoing, I'm praying for you. I'm praying this for you. I'm praying for this for you. And so this is God allowing us into the heart of a man of God that we've supported for years, and he's really just asking for us to pray for him, and I hope that you will. He has some prayer cards, and I hope that you'll get some of those, and I hope that you'll maybe sit down at dinner this week and have his prayer card, and at the dinner table pray for the Leviers, or maybe you're going to eat some French fries. And you'll think, oh, French. I know a Frenchman. He's kind of nice sometimes. But by the way, doesn't he have a great listening voice? Has anybody ever heard his voice before? Do you remember the video that we did when we bought this building? And it was narrated by Brother Eric Levier. In 2 Chronicles 16:9, the Bible says, and I just go, oh, I remember calling him going, dude, you've got one of those voices that are just...